a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Pray with me, won't you? Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here today. We thank you, Lord, for what tomorrow represents in our nation. We thank you, Lord, that you've placed us in this place and this time. We pray, Lord, that your will would be realized in our lives, that we would fulfill your will for each one of us in this place and this time. We thank you for this nation that was founded upon your truths. We pray, Lord, your mercy and your forgiveness upon her. We pray that you would find within us vessels that would help her, and that we would once again return to your truth. But Lord, we thank you for those that have given everything for us, that we might enjoy this freedom that you've allowed. And Lord, we pray special blessings upon their families, wherever they might be, and upon our armed forces, wherever they might be. We pray your hand upon them. And Lord, we give you the glory and the praise for it all. Have your way here today with us, Lord, that we might indeed be your people, that we might each one of us have a burden for those that are lost outside of your kingdom. Lord, that we might live lives that allow you to be lifted up and seen clearly in us. And Father, for this too, and for the negligence of this, we ask your forgiveness and your mercy. But Lord, we trust you, and we know that you're on the throne this morning and that you are in control. Let us all look to you in all things and all ways. Have your way here today. We ask it in your name. Amen. I wonder, do we understand why Memorial Day is so important? Do we understand why we must always choose to remember Memorial Day? I know I've said this before and I've said it many times, but I'll say it again. The way a nation honors or remembers those who have sacrificed their lives for it says a lot about that nation. So it's important. It's very important that we choose to remember and to honor those that have given us what we have today, and we not take it for granted. Can I bring that a little closer to home? The way an individual honors or remembers those who have given their lives for them also speaks volumes about that individual. When we stand before the Lord one day, you won't have to give an account for anybody but you. That is good and that is bad, because we all know us, don't we? And one day we will stand and we will give account. So it's one thing to look at the difficulty that's going on around us and blame it on our nation. But the truth is, we'll have to answer for what we've done or what we haven't done. Something to think about, isn't it? If we begin to forget or ever take for granted those who have given everything for our freedoms, mightn't we also begin to take for granted the freedoms themselves? When we understand that some people, many people, have died for the freedoms that we enjoy, kind of shines a different light upon those freedoms, doesn't it? It's why it's so important that we always choose to remember those sacrifices. Do we understand how blessed the majority of us are to have the ability to choose or to have the choice? I don't necessarily mean just the freedom to choose, though that is very important. And we are blessed beyond, I think, sometimes my own apparent comprehension of what that sacrifice has given me, the freedom that we really truly enjoy in this nation. But the blessing I'm referring to is the fact that the majority of us, now not all of us, I'm sure, but the majority of us, we have to choose to remember, because the majority of us have never lost anyone dear to us in battle. The majority of us. Some of us may have, but the majority of us haven't. And that is a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing that we have that choice and that we have to choose to remember. Because those who have lost loved ones in battle, they don't have that ability to choose to remember. They can't help but remember, can they? They understand full and well the price that's been paid for the freedom that we enjoy. So we are blessed. We are blessed. The majority of us are blessed that we've never lost anyone dear to us on the battlefield. Memorial Day, formerly known as Decoration Day, because of the practice of women of the time decorating fallen soldiers' graves, it started toward the end of our country's Civil War. But it was more than just a day to decorate the graves of those who had died. It was also a solemn occasion of remembrance to honor those who had sacrificed everything for their convictions. That war, probably more than any war we were involved with, wasn't it? It was about convictions. You had neighbor against neighbor. But it was more than just a day to decorate the graves of those who had died. It was to decorate those who had given everything for their convictions, as I said. That's kind of what made this country, isn't it? People standing for their convictions. Did you know that Memorial Day, as it officially came to be titled in 1967, wasn't celebrated on the same day by the North and the South until after World War I? In fact, it was only associated with those who had died in the Civil War. It wasn't extended to honor all fallen U.S. soldiers until after World War I. Before that, it was only the Civil War. Can you believe it took a struggle as monumental as World War I to unify our country, to bring us back together? I didn't look this up this week, but I know I've seen it before. There are still some areas in our country that acknowledge it and celebrate it a different day. Some areas in the South. Sometimes it takes a common struggle to recognize a common focus, doesn't it? Remember last week we talked about focuses, our focus. What was it I said last week? Shake well before using. This is kind of on a side note, but do you think our nation might be due for another shaking? All right, back to Memorial Day. Though it began as a ritual of remembrance and reconciliation, by the early 20th century, Memorial Day had become more of an occasion for general expressions of memory as people began to visit the graves of their deceased relatives, whether they had served in the military or not. Actually, when I was young, I didn't know that it was only meant for military, for those that had given their life or lost their life or had served in the military. And after Congress passed the Uniform Holidays Bill in 1971, which moved Memorial Day from its traditional May 30th date to the last Monday in May to create a three-day holiday weekend, the meaning of the day seemed to deteriorate even more. Today, most see Memorial Day simply as the beginning of the summer season. First official holiday of the summer, isn't it? The pools open on Memorial Day. Some see it as an opportunity to get a good deal at many of the, and you're already seeing them on TV, Memorial Day sales. And many simply see it as a three-day weekend and an opportunity to spend time with family and friends, relaxing at the beach, or barbecuing at the park, or in the backyard, or sitting in front of a big screen, watching either the Indianapolis 500 or the Coca-Cola 600. Is there anything wrong with any of that? I guess not. This is, after all, still the United States of America, isn't it? And those who have given their lives gave them so that we all might have the freedom to celebrate Memorial Day however we wish. But here's something else to think about. Does choosing to remember one day a year really do justice to our fallen military men and women sacrificed anyway? If we just take one day of the year to remember them, to acknowledge what their sacrifice has given us, is it really doing any justice anyway? The truth is, every day should be our Memorial Day. Because we enjoy our freedoms every day, don't we? Because choosing to remember their sacrifice validates the worth of our freedom, and as a people, if we lose sight of that, we will no longer be this nation. But we've been given a greater gift than even this great nation of ours can afford, haven't we? A freedom that goes beyond our place of residency on this planet, and a sacrifice that makes it all possible. Because even though our fallen heroes have given us much, our Savior has given us much more. What was it Paul said? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 5, 7 through 10. Our military heroes fought and died for democracy, for basic human rights. Second sentence of the Declaration of Independence says it better, best. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But Jesus surrendered and died for us that we might lay hold of that for which we have no right. Made a way where there was no way, didn't he? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He gave us a chance to get a hold of something that we had no right to. And he gave us the very rights that we do enjoy. Let's look at 2 Peter verses 1 through 4 again. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I said last week that it was very easy to see where Peter's focus was, wasn't it? What his life was all about. He says also to us, to those who have attained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Did I say that? I lost the line, I think. Nope. Grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of the Jesus our Lord. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. That's the difference between democracy and grace. Democracy has to be earned. Grace never will be. And the truth is, it's also the danger of grace from a human perspective. Because if we think something can't be earned, then we don't try, do we? And that's the danger of it. Please don't misunderstand. Just because we can never earn grace doesn't mean that we can never grow in grace or that we should never grow in grace. That's not just my opinion. Peter felt the same way. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:17, 18. Remember last week we talked about our focus? Our focus requires a choice, doesn't it? We have to choose which way we're looking, don't we? We have to choose what motivates our life. We have to choose. Two of the songs we sang earlier broke my heart. The truth is, I can't walk. I can't walk without him holding my hand. Well, when we sang that song, it wasn't so much the thought of the things I can't accomplish in Christendom as it was what happens when I let go of his hand is what came to my mind and my heart. When I let go of his hand, I start walking in a way that seems right to me. I can't follow Christ if I'm not focused on Christ. None of us can. What we need to understand as Christians is that we have to choose. And we do choose. Maybe that's more important to understand. Even if we don't make a choice, we've still chosen, haven't we? We either follow Christ or we don't. But the truth is, none of us will be Christ-like unless we're holding his hand, unless we're following him. None of us can walk like he walked. None of us can walk in such a fashion that he will be lifted up in our life if we're not following him, if we're not holding his hand. I think I had church over there by myself this morning, but it was good. Focus requires choice. We have to choose. Choose this day whom you shall follow. Tomorrow, too. This afternoon, too. It's not really a one-a-day kind of pill, is it? We have to take it every day, every moment of every day. And just as we have to choose not to take our freedoms for granted as American citizens, we also have to choose as Christians, we have to choose to grow in and depend upon Christ. And there's no way you will grow if you don't depend upon Christ. He's the only one that can make those changes within us. That's what struck me so hard about that song. It was just like the Holy Spirit just drove it home. Things you know, and you know that you know, but when he says it to you just a little different way, it comes home. We can never grow like Christ without Christ. There's no way that I can walk or make any difference in the world around me in and of myself. If we could, he wouldn't have came. He came because he had to. It was the only way we could be set free. The only way. And just as we have to choose as American citizens not to take our freedoms for granted, we have to choose. We have to choose as Christians to grow in Christ. He doesn't force it. He's the only one that can make that change, but we have to choose to allow him, to follow him, to hold his hand. Let's look at verses 5 and 8 again, or 5 through 8, I'm sorry. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I read through all of that, and it was a lot of it, wasn't it? As we read through it, we start to kind of make a grocery list, don't we, of the things we need to pick up. As we read through all that, there's a whole lot of choices to be made there, isn't there? He said, for this very reason, giving all diligence. That means we got to keep on. Add to your faith virtue. Can I add virtue to my life? Is that what he's saying here? Can I take a class and all of a sudden I'm virtuous? But I have to choose, don't I? I have to choose and I have to focus and I have to follow. And I have to hold on and I have to depend upon Jesus Christ. To virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Most important part. For if these are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Got a ways to go, don't we? Is that knowledge enough? When we get that knowledge, what do we do with it? What does that knowledge do to us? I guess it's the most important way to look at it. It's that knowledge that allows these things to take place, isn't it? But we have to choose to go after that. We have to choose to make that the focus of our life. We have to choose Christ and him the priority of our life. We don't accomplish these things. He does. He makes these changes within us. And some of us are pretty far down the road in some of these things, and in some of the things we're not. And we all vary because we're all different people from different places, different walks. But we all got to come to the same place. That's to Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can bring these things into our lives. But we, just as we had to choose to come to him as our Savior. He was already our Savior. He was the Savior of all mankind. He was the Son of God who gave himself that all sin could be forgiven. That's who he was. But we had to choose to come to him. Church, we still do. We haven't arrived. We're not there. It's not alley, 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 home free. You guys didn't play that when you were kids, huh? It's not. That's when you were hiding out there in the dark. It meant you had a free ride in. They couldn't tag you. We're not there. We still have to choose. for these things to take place. And we have to understand that that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't get that unless we do something with that. We don't grow in that unless we do something with it. If you get it and you sit down, you ain't got it. We have to do something with it. We're expected to do something with it. If Jesus Christ calls us, He has a purpose in us. Each one of us. Your purpose might not be my purpose. We come from different areas. But He has a purpose in us. First and foremost, we follow Him. We depend upon Him. He works in our lives. He adds these things to our lives. He brings things to our lives. He takes things out of our lives. But we become the vessel that He's called us to be. And the world, just like we did one time because we were part of the world, we see a reality with the Holy Spirit's help. We see Christ lifted up. Probably every one of us could testify this morning of someone in our life that we've seen Christ lifted up in, that caused us to be drawn unto Him. That's the vessels we're to be now, those of us that know Him as our Savior. We're to do something with that knowledge. It changes us from the inside out. We're constantly fighting, trying to change ourselves from the outside in. But we can't. If we could, He wouldn't have had to come. And we know He had to come. I proved it yesterday. I probably proved it today. He had to come. He had to come. On Memorial Day, we honor those who have died for our freedom, right? That's what we do. That's what Memorial Day is about. Veterans Day, we honor all of our military. Memorial Day was designed to honor those who have died for our freedom. But if they had only died, would we be free? So truthfully, and you have to follow me, this gets kind of sketchy, it was their act of giving their life to defeat those who would take our freedom away that in turn gave us the freedom, wasn't it? It was their actions that caused them to lose their life. And some didn't, but they still fought and did the same actions. And we should honor them too. Can an untrained, underarmed, unqualified, good-intentioned army expect to fare well against the enemy that's prepared for the battle? If they had just run out and given their life, we wouldn't be free. They ran out and they made a difference. They hurt the enemy. They overcame the enemy. And some of them gave their life doing it. And we honor them this weekend. Or I hope we do. We should. That's the gist of what this message is about. We should, because they've given everything for us. Everything, like that one movie, Clint Eastwood, everything they had, everything they're going to have. Everything for us. So we should honor them. But it wasn't just their giving that changed things. It was their actions and their fight in the battle. If we're underarmed, undertrained, unqualified, but we have good intentions, we're not going to make much of a difference in the battle, are we? Our sacrifice won't mean a whole lot. Do we have an enemy? Peter said we do. He said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. That sounds like training to me. It sounds like we have to make a choice too. And He says, for He cares for you. He said, be sober. That sounds like a choice. Be vigilant. That sounds like a messed up choice, but because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. That's another choice, isn't it? Steadfast in the faith. That's even a choice. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. 1 Peter 5:6-10. Lots of choices there, weren't there? Lots of choices. Is it okay if I bring this a little closer to home as well? Are we making enough of the right choices for Satan, our enemy, to know which side we're on? Something to think about, isn't it? I want us to understand there are choices that we have to make every day. Every day. If we come to a saving knowledge of Christ and all we do is warm a chair in church and we never choose to grow in Christ, is Satan likely to be worried about us? We're not making much of a difference, are we? You remember Steve Brown's quote about our choices and the direction of our lives? He said, "Don't be concerned if you ran into Satan on your way out this morning. Be more concerned if you didn't. Because if you didn't, that probably means that you're going in the same direction." Kind of profound, isn't it? Very truthful, too. So many times we think, and you hear people say it all the time, the devil's really bothering me with this, really attacking me with this. That's good. That just means you're in the fight. But I think a lot of times it's our own self that's causing the problems and we just give Satan credit for it. If you're really being attacked, and I can tell you, you will be. If you stand for Christ, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to. Ain't nobody ever fought a fight, didn't take a punch or two. That's part of the fight. That's why a lot of people don't fight. They don't want to be hit. You're going to get in a fight. Have you ever been in a fight, guys? Some girls even. You're going to get hit. You got to be prepared to get hit. Sometimes them swinging is what gives you the opening. That's the way it happens. That's the way it works. There's a battle going on. Right now, in this place, within each one of us, there's a battle going on. If you're going to depend upon Christ, if your focus and your desire is to be what Christ wants you to be, you're going to fight. You're in a battle. Because you have an enemy that wants you to be anything else but that. Anything else but a vessel that will allow Christ to be lifted up in your life. And he will do every dirty thing he can. And the worst part about it is he knows every one of our weaknesses. So what do we have to do? We have to choose. We have to choose. To depend, to follow, to hold his hand. And when we fall, and we will, we have to choose to reach for his hand so we can get back up. This ain't a sprint. We got to be in it for the long haul if we're going to make a difference in the world around us. And believe me, and you know as well as I do, the world around us needs a difference. They need somebody to stand for Christ. Not look down our righteous noses at them, but to do those things that we were just offered back there. To have those things all added to our lives. That kindness, that brotherly love. To have those things added to us. That's how they're going to see Christ. I've said it many times. We're not going to overcome sin by pointing out sin. We can only overcome sin the same way it's overcome in our own lives, by pointing it to Christ. He took the penalty for it. He paid for it already. That's what we do with it. We give it to him. We cannot proclaim Christ if we choose to walk the wrong way. His glory will not be revealed in and through us if we're not following him. I can't walk in the way that seems right to me and expect people to know I'm a Christian. I can't do it. I've tried it. It don't work. I can't be a Christian by myself. I've tried that too. It don't work. The only thing we can do is depend upon Christ. And He makes the changes within us. He makes us Christians. Let's look at verses 9 through 11 again. I'll prepare to close. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. More choices. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. More choices. To make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lots more choices. Not only supplied to us, but we might possibly open up an entrance for someone else. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." In the world, He didn't say you might have. If you're trying to stand for Him in the world, you will have tribulation. But He goes on to give us a little word of encouragement. He says, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. Neither can you. None of us can. Apostle Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But we have to choose to allow Christ to strengthen us. And it has to be His strength. Let's look at verse 12 and I'll close. I'm going to get me new glasses. Be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. May we always choose to remember. May we always. As citizens of this country, certainly. That people have given their lives for my freedom. And the ways I've taken my freedom for granted makes me ashamed to think that people have given their life that I might have that. But may we also always choose to remember in whom we serve and who our life belongs to. May He always be the priority of all of our lives. May we always understand, we have to choose. And the choice is mine. And the choice is yours. I told you, I think before, when I was working a secular job, we had a lot of trouble with safety issues. I think this place over here on Nash Road must have, because I see all their propaganda they put out about safety. And it reminds me so much of the place I worked at. Safety got so bad that work comp carriers wouldn't carry us. It was going to cost like half of our profits to stay in business. So we had a big campaign, needless to say. And they had a sign when you went into the break room. And it said, "Who's responsible for safety?" And guess what it had below it? A mirror. It's the truth, isn't it? Every one of us are responsible for our choices. I might do something that influences you. You might do something that influences me. But the truth is, I can't blame you for it when I stand before the Lord. I'm responsible for my choices. And you're responsible for yours. May we always choose to remember to follow Christ. You'll never regret that choice. I can guarantee it. I really can. You'll never regret following Christ. Never. We're going to have a song of invitation.